Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Thursday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. Darvin Ham shuffles the starting lineup, and the Lakers get a big win Wednesday night. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everyone for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. It's always free. It's never going to be behind a paywall. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube, that's where you go to hang out with a fantastic community now of over 12,000 subscribers, talking to each other, talking to us. The comments section is a civil place to be, but it is a great place to talk basketball. The number of comments is all just blowing up over there, so make sure you are participating. Of course, we love to use your comments on the show. I try to respond to them over the course of the day, so really want to make it as interactive and participatory as possible. So thank you.
By the way, not just passing 12,000 subscribers for the YouTube channel, which we are obviously quite grateful for, also just recently passed 2 million views cumulatively. So again, y'all are tuning in and we very much appreciate it.
I want to let you know this episode is brought to you by FanDuel, the official sports book of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn to get started. Andy, there are important wins, there are meaningful wins, and then there are quality of life wins. That is what Darvin Ham called Wednesday's 120-102 win over the Pelicans. This was one the Lakers needed to have on multiple levels, and they got it. So pick whichever level you want to start with first.
Well, I mean, there's the practical. They're in a stretch right now where they're playing a lot of teams that they are chasing. And, you know, they made good on the first opportunity post-deadline, where they really had an opportunity, because the first game after the deadline, they were playing with a skeleton crew.
Right, first game with everybody on hand.
Right. The first one they beat Golden State, then they blew another game that they really needed against Portland, but then they got this one tonight. You know, they're chasing the Pelicans. This is a night where Portland lost. This was a night Golden State lost. This is a night Dallas lost. And the next seven games the Lakers have after the break: Golden State, Dallas, Memphis, OKC, Minnesota, Golden State, Memphis. Five of those seven are teams that they are pretty closely chasing. And then eight of the next 10, I mean, total, counting that three more, are against Western Conference teams. You get the Pelicans again. So they're in a stretch right now where they don't need to win just purely because of the record, although the record obviously counts. These are the teams that they are going to be making up ground against if they start winning, at least theoretically. And just on a psychological level, on an emotional level, you don't want to go into the break with that much more to be thinking about, because God knows they got enough on their mind as it is. You don't want to be thinking about, man, is this team really not working either? We were at full strength. We even had Mo Bamba in this game back from suspension. If they don't look impressive again, then they really have, you know, a week for this to eat at them, and that's not good.
No, not at all. So the Lakers, they will go into the break two games behind Oklahoma City for the 10 spot, 2.5 behind Golden State for the 9, and 3 behind New Orleans for the 8. But like you said, Andy, if they don't win tonight, it's one of those two game swings where New Orleans gains the game on the Lakers, and so instead of losing it. So this really was, they only have 23 left. And already, let's say the Thunder, let's say everything stays exactly where they are. The Portland doesn't make a run. Utah doesn't make a run. Let's say the Thunder go 10-10, or like over their final 20 games. Though the Lakers have to, go 12-8. to catch them. And I don't know tiebreakers off the top of my head right now. I think Oklahoma City's ahead in that. Let's say, you know, if Oklahoma City's a couple games over 500 over their last, you know, 20 something games, the Lakers have to be 5 or 6 games. Like, it, they really cannot afford to lose games. It does help. They play the Thunder, I believe, twice before the end of the season. So while the schedule is difficult, in a lot of ways, it does favor the Lakers because too many games against teams they're not chasing, you know, maybe they're winnable, but they're also, you know, sort of less controlling of their own destiny. We'll get to the balance here in the lineup. We'll get to LeBron having essentially for him, a night off while playing by his standards. But the big news going into the game, Andy, Darvin Ham hinted at it before it all started. He said he was going to have a little surprise for everybody with the starting lineup. And he did. We spent all of Wednesday's show talking about maybe who replaces Dennis Schroeder. It was more like who replaces everybody.
Yeah. The starting lineup was LeBron, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, the three expected guys. Then Malik Beasley taking essentially Dennis Schroeder out of the lineup and Jared Vanderbilt taking Rui Hachimura out of the lineup. And it's interesting. It was actually a lineup that I thought maybe would be possible, except I had either Rui either staying in the lineup and LeBron essentially serving as a backcourt guy offensively, Jared Vanderbilt as a guard defensively, or, you know, maybe he stays in the lineup, but you have Troy Brown or Austin Reeves out there. But He ended up going for like a unusual continuity play in that Malik Beasley, D'Angelo Russell, and Jared Vanderbilt played together for several seasons in Minnesota on top of the time that Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley had in Utah, you know, leading ahead of this trade. So as I noted on Cam Brother on Twitter at Cam Brothers, it was kind of an old new look for this team. And then you throw LeBron in there. LeBron can play with anybody. LeBron can figure it out with anybody. And we had talked about heading into this game, they needed to get LeBron back, because if you're looking to fast track any process, nobody is more important to this team than him. But this was a bit of a cheat code, you know, by Darvin going this route, just trying to get as much familiarity in that starting lineup as possible. And also, too, he said he actually likes how Dennis and Rui and Troy Brown, who have been in a lot of starting lineups, at least recently without LeBron, he likes how they play together. So he basically just moved them all into the second unit.
Yeah, it's one of these things, like, you got to make sort of wholesale changes. There isn't, you know, in a normal circumstance, you put a team together like this, you spend the first 25 games messing around with the lineup. You try to figure out your rotations. You're doing it that way. Lakers don't have the luxury of doing that. So like you said, it makes some sense to do the continuity thing. It makes some sense to play guys in groups where you're maximizing the amount of familiarity. It was just funny because, like, you know, we talked about, you know, I floated the idea of a Beasley Russell backcourt, and, you know, rightly, it's not like you're wrong about this. Major defensive concerns about that. You float the idea of starting Vanderbilt with LeBron and AD, which is something else we talked about, I think, for Wednesday's show.
We did.
And, you know, you can do it. The concern becomes spacing. To some degree, you're hoping maybe to counteract that a little bit with that lineup, where you have Russell and Beasley to help space the floor. You have Vanderbilt there to hopefully help a little bit with defense. You know, he was matched up with Brandon Ingram for most of the night. At the very least, made Ingram work.
He and Troy Brown did the lion's share of that assignment on Brandon Ingram, and they did a terrific job. They did a really nice job.
But it still leaves them very switchy on defense. They can do a lot of stuff, and I think it's probably helpful to, you know, just have consistent, you know, either we're going to switch everything when you have, again, a lot of new guys to communicate defensively. I thought, you know, they got off to a really hot start. You know, we're up 13 at the end of the first quarter, 15-4. So some of that, I think, is the energy and the activity from guys like Vanderbilt and just the excitement of getting off to good. Also, I think, too, they're in any chance in bleep that New Orleans had scouted and sort of prepped, I think, for that starting lineup. So that helped too. But I want to talk to you about what the impact was of kind of splitting the groups up, what it looked like because I noticed something that I thought was really important, at least to me, about the difference between this roster construction with and sort of an A group and a B group and the one the Lakers had before with Russell Westbrook. Plus, got to talk about Anthony Davis tonight because he had an Anthony Davis type game the Lakers need. So all that coming up next.
Locked On Lakers is brought to you by FanDuel, and it is the midway point of the NBA season, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers, you get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, a grand. That's bonus bets back. If your first bet doesn't win, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, really easy to use, and you can bet on everything from the money line to the point scores to threes drained, or you can get saucy with exclusive bets like the 2x3, 2 3-pointers scored in the first 3 minutes. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay. So do not miss out on the chance to get your first no sweat first bet up to $1,000, a grand. That's 10 $100 bills. Bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA.
13 of 17 for Anthony Davis, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, 2 blocks, 28 points in only 30 minutes of play. This was the game from Davis that the Lakers needed. So I definitely want to make sure we reserve some time for that. But Andy, one of the things I thought was, we saw it on Saturday. It's hard to see, you know, Monday was such a train wreck, you know, just in terms of chasing points and everything. But even again, on Wednesday, the Lakers look like one team throughout a game now. And it's not always a good team. You know, there were moments where the scoring stopped and, you know, they ran into some problems, and but they look like one team. And what I mean by that is when Westbrook was on the squad, when he was in the game, it became kind of a Westbrook kind of team, particularly when he was working without LeBron and AD, and that was his group to kind of go with. And then the other guys come back in and it shifts back to something else. And part of the problem was when Westbrook was on the floor with LeBron and AD, you're sort of neither fish nor fowl, and you get the worst kind of everything. And that's not Russ's fault. That's the Lakers' fault for putting him on the team. But now they are one team, and you have D'Angelo Russell as a third scorer, you know, the designated third scorer in the group, who can kind of work with it and looks like a regular player. He doesn't look like somebody you have to adjust 10 things to try to maximize their potential. And again, it's not a knock on Russ, but it makes minute 1 through minute 48 significantly easier, I would imagine, for Darvin Ham to manage.
Well, I mean, what did I always say about Russ? How did I always describe him?
The least blendable player in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, he just is. Like, Russell Westbrook plays one speed. Like, he is a pitcher that essentially throws 105 miles an hour every single pitch. And when it connects, you know, it can connect really well. But he's no longer in his prime, still trying to throw 105 miles an hour. It's like the way, you know, Mariano Rivera, he didn't just have one fastball. He had like one cut fastball.
He threw cut fastball like 97% of the time.
Yeah, that's like all he threw. And like D'Angelo Russell, the way the points score, like in this particular game, like this was a really nice showcase for what D'Angelo could do as a scorer. He, you know, he opened the game with a 3-pointer. He scored inside. He drove to the lane, got contact. You know, he's not somebody that draws necessarily as many fouls as Russell Westbrook, but he's a lot more reliable at the line. Mm-hmm. Like, he's somebody that you don't mind having at the line. Like, he was 8 of 11 tonight from the line, which is unusually high for Russell. Or 8 of 10, excuse me. He's not typically going to get 10 free throws in a night, but he is somebody that can hit 80%. Like, that is something you can expect from Russell. And just, there's just more variety in the things that you can do with Russell. Like, he is somebody that who has way more utility off ball. Like, no matter how much Russ wants to play off ball, resists playing off ball, It can change sometimes game to game, quarter to quarter, whatever. He doesn't have the same utility as right. D'Angelo Russell. Like you are not going to have opposing teams use their center to essentially not guard D'Angelo Russell when he's behind the arc. Like you can't give him open shots like that. He also, the other thing you notice about D'Lo way more than Russell is, or Russell Westbrook, I should say, they're both Russells. He just moves off the ball way more. Like he's just in much more motion away from the ball than Westbrook ever was. Like Westbrook tends to camp himself, you know, there's just more variance in what's going to be happening out there with D'Lo versus Russ.
Yeah. And you don't have to adjust everything you're doing for D'Angelo Russell, whereas you do kind of have to adjust. If you're going to try to maximize Russ, you know, Westbrook, you're going to have to sort of adjust everything you do and tilt it to the things that he's best at, particularly in the half court. And so, you know, this was a night where the Lakers did not shoot the ball well from 3-point range, only 10 of 37. They did not shoot the ball well from the line. They were 22 of 36, and yet they won by 18. The defensive activity was quite good. They put up 120 points, and they really got contributions from a lot of guys. You know, the starting lineup, you got 21 from LeBron, 28 from AD, 21 from Russell. You get 10 from Schroeder and 20 minutes off the bench. You know, Austin Reeves didn't do much, you know, sort of offensively, but had these like little bursts of like really good activity, drawing fouls on three.
He owned the last 7 seconds of the first half.
Yeah. I mean,
he drew two fouls.
Yeah. It really,
shooting,
you know,
fouls.
You know, big offensive rebound in there. And, you know, Troy Brown had some good moments, particularly defensively. You saw like the contours of what this could look like. And by the way, who was going to be left out of the rotation? And, you know, it was Lonnie Walker, it was Wenyen Gabriel. Obviously, nobody expects Davon Reed to be playing much. You go back to the point, we'll get to AD here next, but like you go back to the point you made at the beginning and that Darvin talked about. Like they got off to that 15-4 start, and you know, they're flying around. And later in the game, you know, D'Angelo Russell off of a big Anthony Davis play inside is, you know, hyping up the crowd, getting them all on their feet and all that. He thought Beasley was going to make a three, and he already had his hands up. And then, you know, Davis gets the rebound, puts it back in, and D'Lo's hyping up the crowd. And like, if for, you know, you get off to that start and you get those moments and you don't win the game, I don't know how you like that. That's the sort of thing, like you say, that spirals out. Now you go into the break, you're still connected to the teams, a couple games behind, but you're connected to the teams you're chasing, and you believe like, oh, okay, this is something. We found something here. We got a new starting lineup. We've got new players. We've got a week to practice with everybody to find some continuity and hit the ground running after the break. Like, so much of what the Lakers need to do is based on belief right now. They have to be 100% committed to the belief. It still may not be enough, but if they don't have that, they're definitely not going to do it. This sets them up to believe in really important ways, because they won how they won, who played in how they won, really important.
Well, I mean, beyond, like you said, pretty much everybody who got rotation minutes, I thought at least made one or two good contributions, and several guys I thought just played flat out quite well. You know, like Jared Vanderbilt, the activity on both sides of the ball was great. You know, he had an incredible chase down block on Jose Alvarado.
Oh man, that was a good play.
He got a couple buckets just from continually moving. He got set up by Troy Brown. He got set up, I believe, by Malik Beasley one time. He just keeps moving, and he uses the gravity that he doesn't have to his advantage, because he keeps cutting. Like he knows that teams are sagging off him, but you can tell just from the few games we've been watching him, he's very aware of when a defender isn't watching him.
Yes.
And is
anti-gravity, you could call it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he obviously, you'd prefer him to have gravity, but if he's not going to have it, then you at least want a guy that will try to take advantage of it. But to the other point that you were making, as far as them not making free throws and not making threes and still finding a way to win this game. If they had lost, it would have really started feeling like, oh my God, it is the same thing over and over, because you would have had the three-point issue. You would have had the three-point issue, both of which, the free throw issue and the three-point issue, both of which has been a thing for them. But also, it would have been, holy crap, can we not close? Because if they had managed to blow that fourth quarter lead against a Pelicans team that had no Zion and Brandon Ingram in foul trouble, and you still can't close that one, that would be bad.
It was actually, I thought, significant, because you know the Lakers got off to that big lead early. New Orleans closed it to within, I think, was it five at the break? It was basically a tie game about halfway through the third. Like, and it looked like it could start to go either way. And the Lakers, boom, quick run, pushed it back out. And that was essentially their game for the rest of it. They really weren't threatened once they got that lead out to, eight or nine, as the third quarter went on. One big reason, Andy, that they were able to do that was that Anthony Davis was Anthony Davis on Wednesday night, and you could see the difference. It wasn't just the numbers, it was what it looked like on the floor. So let's talk about AD next.
Quick, before we get to AD, because he's going to be the majority of the conversation, Mo Bamba made his debut for the Lakers. He's finally done serving that suspension, got to play in front of the LA crowd, which he said after the game was a lot of fun. He was like, when you play against the Lakers, it feels like they always get all the calls. And noted it's nice to be on the other end of that. Real quick, impressions of
Bamba. He picked up like three fouls in 3 minutes. So clearly the referees had not adjusted to his uniform change if he was concerned about that. He was going a little quick at the beginning. But I tell you what, here's where I think
you see a good second half.
Yes. The second half, he had a couple, a nice set up. LeBron set him up with a nice dunk inside. Bamba learned very quickly, keep your hands up like all the time near LeBron. But there was a play where he had a huge block where Anthony Davis was out of the game. Bamba was in, and it was like, oh, okay, rim protection. Like, the Lakers still are going to have a little bit of rim protection even when Davis doesn't play. And Thomas Bryant played well for the Lakers this year. I don't think, for $1.5 million or whatever they signed him for, $2 million, he was one of the best bargains in the league. But one thing he did not provide for them was any semblance of rim protection. And I don't think Bamba's going to play much more than about 15 minutes on Wednesday. I don't think most games he's going to play much more than that, maybe matchup dependent or whatever. But it's good to know that when he is in the game, played 15:47. The Lakers are going to have some rim protection there. And it's three blocks in 15 and a half minutes for Bamba, six rebounds, a lot of activity. Didn't hit any of his three-pointers. He took five of them. But I actually liked that he kept taking them.
Yeah, me too.
He is somebody who can space the floor. For what they need, which is defense, rim protection, and a little bit of stretchiness, I think he's just a better fit than Bryant, because particularly over these last 20, tell me if you think I'm wrong here, Andy, though, the amount of minutes that were going to be available for Bryant down the stretch, given what they were going to have to lean on with Anthony Davis, given, Hachimura's arrival and all that, he wasn't going to find 22, 23, 24 minutes a game. They wouldn't need his scoring, and what they would need is defense and rim protection.
Yes. I made this point a few times, and I think it's the reason why it was reported by Ramona Shelburne, among other people. Thomas Bryant requested a trade because he's somebody playing on a veteran's minimum that wants to get paid by somebody. He needs the ability to get on the court. I agree with you. His minutes were going to drop a lot. It was something that I thought, I actually had tweeted that out before news came out that he had actually requested the trade in the first place. But he's somebody that if he doesn't have an opportunity to score, if you're not going to be looking to run a certain degree of offense through him or just involve him in certain ways, which wasn't going to be the case with LeBron there, with AD there, with D'Angelo Russell there, with Rui Hachimura there, he'd be sixth, Dennis Schroeder, sixth in the pecking order at best, his utility drops dramatically because he has no defensive presence. And, you know, he can get after it on the glass, but between, you know, between Bamba, it was not a great rebounder, but between Bamba and Vanderbilt and some of the other, or Hachimura, like, they can make up for it in other ways. Just like his opportunities to really make a difference were going to drop dramatically. So I think this worked out well for the Lakers and actually for Thomas Bryant. I'm happy to see he's in a position where I think he's going to play more.
Yep. Anthony Davis, the numbers are, you know, 28, 10, and 5. You look at it, oh, that's a pretty good game. It gets even better when you consider he only played 30 minutes and 10 seconds, if you want to be really precise. He was 13 of 17 from the floor. He had the two block shots. He had a steal. He was a plus 18 on the night. This, from a split standpoint, from a 30 per 36 standpoint, this was the kind of production that the Lakers got from AD when he was playing like an MVP. It was the percentages and the efficiency and then all that from a statistical standpoint that were huge. And then it was just the attitude. Like, he walked on the floor angry and aggressive and took it to New Orleans from the first quarter all the way through the last minute he was on the floor.
Yeah. He, on both ends of the court, he looked like Anthony Davis. You know, he had a great block on Brandon Ingram, who put up this really high arching floater that was not easy to get to. I think a lot of players either wouldn't have had the length or the timing, much less both, managed to make that happen. It led to D'Lo getting the line in transition. He had a really good extra pass running pick and roll with LeBron, and it led to a wide open three for D'Angelo Russell. There was a great play where he wrestled, you know, an offensive rebound putback. You know, he had a couple of those during the game. Like you said, he looked like Anthony Davis wanting to reestablish himself as Anthony Davis and like the dude you don't want to be playing against. And I think it is important, maybe more important for Anthony Davis than anybody else, psychologically, that he had this kind of game heading into the break. I don't think anybody on this team needed it more than Anthony Davis.
I was talking to Roger Lodge, host, you know, down the ESPN affiliate in Orange County today, and he asked me the question, like, what's been disappointing for you, you know, about the way the team has performed over the last, you know, couple weeks, couple months, over the course of the season. And I said, honestly, over the last 10 games, it's AD. And it's, you know, I understand it's a long layoff coming back from the injury, but he just kind of reverted back to that thing where you just wanted more. It's like, you knew more was there. What you're getting isn't bad, but you know, it's not good enough. The Lakers have a huge mountain in front of them. It is not something that is insurmountable, but it, you know, they got to go. And even with an improved roster, I thought Wednesday was about as, I don't want to say as good as you're going to get from the improved roster, where like those guys can make up for, like, you know, LeBron played well. He didn't have to do a lot, I think, on Wednesday. This is a perfect game to get LeBron back in the lineup. Got to play, had some really good moments in the second half, particularly, I think, to keep the game in control for the Lakers. But, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10 on the LeBron effort meter, it's like,
no,
three.
He was loose in this game. He had some really nice plays, like you said, and also too, I think his presence as an organizer, and in a lot of ways, just, he's a security blanket. Like, you're going to feel better with all these different things to figure out knowing LeBron's there. You just will.
He was very clearly, I will crank it up here if I need to, but I'm not going to do it if I don't, because he's nursing a bad foot. You know, he's got all-star stuff to do. It is important to him. It's important to the league for LeBron to play in the all-star game, even for a little bit. And I get it. I don't think that's unreasonable. But you still don't want him to have to go all out unless it's necessary. Like, this was a game where AD needed to pull them through. And big picture, they need LeBron to be LeBron, and they need AD to be this guy. And then, you know, the supporting cast – now it's good enough. Now you have the ability not just to tread water or win, but if you get that from the stars, and Russell plays well and Beasley makes sure. Now you might be able to get that run of 8 wins in 12 games or 9 of 13 or 10 of 14 that it could take to make a significant move in the standings, or quite frankly, Andy, just get in.
I'll tell you, these next 10 games with so many teams in the West, you know, that's on their slate. And like I said, there are several of them, the teams they're directly chasing. These like next 10 games, maybe dozen games, could make or break the whole thing. Like, it really could let you know, like, do they have an even semi-realistic chance of making this thing happening? Like, yeah, it's going to be critical coming out of the break.
It's 6-4. You know, if they go 7-3, now you're but you know, whatever it is, but you know, you do a 4-6 out of that, the math is really going to get ugly after that. But anyway, great way for the Lakers to go into the break. Want to let everybody know too, got a lot of just a great response from Wednesday's show on the site, on the YouTube channel, responding to the segments we did with David Locke, deep dive on the new Lakers that came from the Jazz, Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt. Andy has, we're doing the same thing with D'Angelo Russell. So get a feel for that. Andy's already banked that one. We're going to have a deep dive into Mo Bamba. So
already banked
same
that.
Same stuff coming for the other new guys too. So a lot of good stuff, even through the break. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show and participate and be part of it. We appreciate everyone's support there, and we will see everybody on Friday.